As an added benefit to reoccurring donors, we are sending out DCO face masks to any monthly contributors for 3 months or more at the $5 plus level. Please send your size preference, either large or youth or small size, along with membership email and mailing address to info@dcontario.org. And you can check out what they look like in the show notes. This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Hello, this is Caitlin Plant, Program Coordinator for Distress and Crisis Ontario, and this week I will be recording my own thoughts to introduce the theme of our podcast for the month of May, caregiving. I will be covering the basics of what being a caregiver means, what types of care are most often discussed, what caregiving duties are most required, touch on what some of the taboo topics are, and try to explain why caregiving is something that many people choose to provide. I will also outline some of the challenges of caregiving and why caregiver burnout is such a common occurrence. I will be speaking from my own life experience of having been a teenager in a home where my mother provided care for my grandmother, and I also have experience as an adult who worked as a caregiver in a private home for 4 years, but I won't really be going into that specifically. Just know that I have provided care as a caregiver over a long period of time. At the end of this podcast, I'll round things off by giving some insight into the additional topics being covered this month and provide a few resources available to those caregivers who may be searching for support or for those who simply want to know more about caregiving. For now, let's move forward. I think it's safe to say that when people hear the word caregiver, they most often picture a parent caring for their own child, either healthy or exceptionally challenged, or they think of a healthcare worker providing medical or personal care. Both pictures are accurate, but what about the children who care for their parents, elderly or otherwise, a sister who cares for her brother, or vice versa, a spouse caring for their partner, child care providers, or the neighbor intentionally checking in on the elderly or otherwise vulnerable individual next door? All these scenarios, and more, are also accurate representations of caregiving. Anytime someone consistently provides emotional or physical care, support, or companionship to another individual, they are taking on a caregiving role. Sometimes caregiving means providing near-constant one-on-one support to an individual with developmental or health concerns, and other times it's as simple as giving someone a ride to the grocery store once a week, or, these days, dropping those groceries off on someone's doorstep. I think this accurately sums up how complex the topic of caregiving can be, since it holds many different forms. When I was in 8th grade, my grandmother, whom we called Oma, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. My grandfather had passed away the year before, and with my Oma living on her own for the first time in decades, we began to notice that something was just not right. She was becoming easily confused, would often get lost in the small town she'd lived in for around 15 years, and she was constantly forgetting things. Once we had a diagnosis and things came to a point where we knew it wasn't safe for her to be on her own any longer, my parents made the decision to move her in with us so that we, mostly my mother, could provide care for her. We knew that she would be more comfortable and safer living in our home than a long-term care facility, especially because she often still had lucid days at that point. The move-in happened the summer before I began high school, and we would spend the next 4 years sharing a home with an elderly woman who progressively knew less and less about the world around her as she became mentally trapped within her own mind. It was challenging to watch her go through the decline, but equally challenging was watching my own mother struggle to care for her mom. I know that caring for Oma at home was the best decision at the time, but I still don't know how my mom cared for her for so long. I also know that for many people, 4 years is a relatively short amount of time when it comes to a need for care. But the intensity of care required matters, and time tends to become marked by feelings rather than chronological passing. Some of you may be listening to this and know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that those 4 years presented a lot of struggles, because you've either been through them yourself or know someone else who has or is going through a similar situation. However, I'm sure that there are equally as many people listening who are wondering what could be so hard about caring for an elderly woman who just gets confused sometimes. Well, let me give you some real-life examples from our time caring for Oma. As Oma became increasingly more confused, the identities of those of us around her constantly shifted. Sometimes I was myself, sometimes I was a stranger, sometimes I was a random person out of Oma's past, but most often I was my mother, as if my Oma was still a younger woman raising her own family. This meant that my mom was often my Oma's sister, or a stranger, or also herself at her own age right alongside my presence as her younger self. Confusing for all, I know. Here's an example that touches on one of those taboo topics mentioned in my introduction, personal hygiene. Because my Oma had some mobility issues due to arthritis, it was important that she always have help getting into and out of her bathtub shower, as well as supervision in case she lost her balance. Imagine trying to explain to a fully grown adult woman who thinks she's a healthy younger woman that you need to watch her strip naked and possibly help her clean herself. Not always an easy task, especially if she's currently in the mindset that you are a complete stranger to her. If she was really opposed to this idea, she would, understandably, try to physically fight off whomever was helping her, which was usually my mom. It became hard to balance maintaining my Oma's personal hygiene with keeping everyone involved physically safe. One final example is this. My Oma was born and raised in the Netherlands and immigrated to Canada after the end of World War II. As her Alzheimer's progressed, she lost her grasp on the English language and reverted to speaking Dutch, then, eventually, her mother tongue of Frisian, a sub-dialect of Dutch that is spoken pretty much only in the province of Friesland. In my family, only my mother knew Dutch, and none of us knew Frisian. This added language barrier brought on a whole new level of complexity to every interaction we had. Now, it's important to remember that every single caregiving situation is unique, and even my own experience with caring for Oma was different from my mother's, my two brothers, and my father's experiences caring for the same person. The brunt of the struggles fell on my mom, and the outside support we had was decent, all things considered, but still not enough. Even with the massive emotional and physical toll caregiving took on my mom, it still broke her heart to eventually acknowledge that we were unable to continue caring for my Oma at home, and we needed to place her in a long-term care facility. My Oma was the best grandmother a kid could ask for, and I have so many incredible memories from good times spent with her. I don't think any of us have any regrets from caring for her in our home, but Alzheimer's took a lot away from us and sadly left us all with a fair number of unpleasant memories too. You may be wondering what makes caregiving worth it when it sounds like such a struggle. Why would anyone freely choose to put themselves in a situation like the one I described above? Honestly, it can sometimes be hard to remember, but it boils down to the fact that even when things got tough, the confused lady trying to explain that she had to leave the house and go to church at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday was always still my Oma, whom we all loved. She was always still the grandmother who gave so much of herself to my brothers and I, and was still my mother's mom. It's the relationship that existed before the illness. She never lost her love for chocolate, was amazed by the television on an almost daily basis, always loved spending time with my infant nephew, and was always deserving of being cared for. Even though she didn't know who we were sometimes, there were always those moments of clarity and gratitude that would pull us through. I think this is a good place to segue into the topic of caregiver burnout. The examples I gave previously are three small examples from 4 years' worth of care of an adult who was in relatively good physical health, if slightly frail. What if, in addition to her mental disease, she was also wheelchair-bound? What if, instead of a mental affliction, she was mentally sound but physically paralyzed? What if, instead of a grandmother, care was being provided for a child who would require care for far longer than 4 years? What if she was a much larger male instead of an average-sized female? All of these situations exist, and caregivers are needed in every single case. I cannot speak for everyone, but I do believe that many caregivers take on the role of caregiving out of both love for and a sense of commitment towards the person requiring care, and while the moments of gratitude and fulfillment do exist, it can be difficult to find when you're on day 5 of no sleep and very little time to yourself. Sometimes people have very little choice when it comes to becoming a caregiver. If you can't afford to pay for outside help, what other choice do you have? When you are irreplaceable in the task of providing care to someone you love, how are you supposed to make the choice to walk away from them and care for yourself to an equal degree? It's often an impossible ask, and this is why caregiver burnout exists. Also, we don't give caregivers the support they require to sustain the role. So, where do we go from here? I've given you a brief introduction to caregiving, with a personal account and stories I chose to share, but this short podcast has barely scratched the surface on what caregiving is. There are so many different stories out there, different reasons, different struggles, different successes, and different opinions to anything I've shared today. Hopefully, over the course of this month, we'll be able to explore and shed more light on each of these areas and provide some much-needed insight into the life of caregivers. Next week, I will be interviewing a woman who spent 21 years caring for her son, about the importance of self-care for caregivers and how challenging it is to come by. We'll also be hosting a panel to interview individuals with different caregiving backgrounds to compare and contrast their experiences, have an episode dedicated to caregiving amongst COVID-19, and also hope to bring in the perspective of someone who is on the other end of things, someone who is being cared for. For those looking for resources to support their caregiving roles or for general information, I would suggest checking out the Ontario Caregiver Organization online at ontariocaregiver.ca. Donna Thompson has a blog called The Caregiver's Living Room at Donna Thompson, DonnaThompson.com, through which she's built an incredibly supportive community. DCO has a list of useful resources that can be found at dcontario.org/resources/useful-information. And remember that there are always people willing to listen and support you at any of our distress centers, which can also be found at dcontario.org/locations. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. We are committed to providing the most current and up-to-date information. With your help, we can make it better. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress-and-crisis-ontario.com or by clicking the link in the show notes. And by donating, monthly contributors will be able to access a special podcast feed. In it, we'll have additional content and some more in-depth pieces on some of our most popular topics. Thank you.